Well, good morning. That sure is a good-looking church right there. We've done a lot of things, and it's been fun doing all those activities with all of you. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I'm a team pastor here at Ashworth, and we're in this series, The Christmas Album, but Christmas is over, and so now we're all looking forward to the next holiday. That is Monday night. We'll all be celebrating, or some of us will maybe be going to bed early because staying up till midnight is for young people and the cool kids. But I'm sure as we're all staying up, we are going to hear this song, Auld Lang Syne. I had to Google just how to spell that to make sure that I got it right. Raise your hand if you know what that phrase even means. Anybody. But you've all heard this song, correct? Isn't it crazy that we have built this song into like our culture? It is the New Year's Eve song, and nobody knows what it means. It's actually from an old Scottish poem from like the late 1700s, and it basically means in days gone by. And through the poem, it talks about the days that have gone by since I was with my good friend and how much time has passed and all the things that have gone on and how life has simply moved on. And so essentially, it's a song that's recognizing all the changes from the past to the present and all that's happened in between. And while many of our New Year's Eve shows are going to take us through reels of film from the last year, much like we just had on these screens of what we've done here at Ashworth, we'll have that moment in preparation for the ball drop of looking at all the things that happened in 2018. But I think most of you can agree, as we get to this time of the year, Christmas is over, we're approaching New Year's, we're all moving to the mindset of what's ahead of us. We're all starting to think about, what am I going to change next year? What's going to be my New Year's resolution? What new habits am I going to put in place? How am I going to be bigger and better than ever? And unfortunately, all of this planning and all of this looking at the future, I feel like comes at the expense of us ever taking the time to slow down and have a real, legitimate reflection on what's happened to us in the past. Sure, we like to look at the photos, and maybe you'll look through some photo albums and be like, oh, that was really fun. But when we do that, we tend to only be looking at the high moments. We don't have photos of our fights with our spouse. We don't have photos of those times that our kids were driving us nuts and we were in our bedroom just thinking, what am I ever going to do to help teach this child to move forward? We don't have photos of that. We only have the high points. But what the song Auld Lang Syne is about, it's remembering the past. And so today, I want us to talk about why there is value and benefit from remembering what we have already gone through. Like every good history teacher will tell you, there's a lot of importance in knowing the past. If you don't know your history, then history is bound to repeat itself. And so if we fail to look backwards, then we're going to be totally unprepared to move forwards. So for instance, if you have New Year's resolutions that maybe you've already been thinking about, it's only 2 days away, you should start thinking about that. But not yet, because today we're looking backwards. But as we think about New Year's resolutions, if you don't think about last year, maybe you had a New Year's resolution. How long did it last? Why did it maybe not succeed? What were your stumbling blocks? If you don't think about those things and prepare for them, you're going to come up against those exact same stumbling blocks this year, and you're going to fail just like last year because you didn't learn your lesson from last year, and history is going to repeat itself. Or maybe you thought this past year, I really want to grow closer with God. Well, let's think about that. When do you feel the closest to God? What practices do you have to put in your life to feel close to God? Are you doing those things right now? Are those the things that maybe in the future are going to be the most important thing for you to put into your life? Are you understanding how it's reflecting on the past that actually allows us to move into the future with a better chance of being successful and doing the things we want to do and being able to actually grow closer to God rather than just saying, I want to do that, and then failing at it miserably by the end of week one. So as you can see, there is a lot of benefit on us taking a moment today and this week to reflect on the past. And we actually see people reflecting on days gone by many times in all of Scripture. We see it in numerous Psalms, which we're going to look at today. We see it in several places in the Old Testament where leaders are reminding the people of Israel all that God has done in bringing them out of Egypt. And then we see it again in the New Testament in a couple spots where the writers are reminding the people how God has been actively working in their lives and moving them forward for so many, even centuries. And so today, I want to show you the benefits of taking that time to reflect and remember the time that's gone by. And so we're going to look into the past in Psalm 77 and Psalm 78, two psalms which both speak about remembering the past and how that helps the author ultimately move forward. First, in Psalm 77, we're reading, it's by Asaph, who's written several of the Psalms. He actually writes both of these Psalms. He's the same writer. And he's obviously dealing with some incredible despair. Let me just read you the first two sentences, or two verses. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and I would not be comforted. He talks about groaning. He can't get any sleep. He's dealing with this deep despair and anguish. He's depressed. This is where the psalm can be really helpful if you're going through tough times with mental stuff, anxiety, depression, those things. There's some psalms that have some great stuff in there where you go, oh, yeah, I'm not the only one. This is how people deal with it. And we read about how Asaph deals with his feelings of deep despair and anxiety here. When we get to verses 11 and 12, here's his solution for the troubling in his soul. It says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. You see here how this poor guy who's just struggling to feel like God is in his life. In a few of the verses, he's like, God, do you even hear me? And maybe you felt that before. But his solution is to come and say, God, I'm going to focus on what I know you have done. I'm going to focus on how I know you have moved. You have shown that you care about people in situations like I'm in right now. And then the rest of the psalm, he talks about in very poetic language how God rescued the Israelites out of Egypt and how they walked through dry land and the storm and the waters that went up the walls that destroyed their enemy. But he remembered that he worships a God who cares and who knows about his dark area. And even though he feels like God isn't hearing him, his remembering and his reflecting on the past, he's standing on it as truth and saying, but I know that while I may not feel like you hear me, I know that you do. I know that you are a God who is not just up there ignoring me. I know that you're a God who intervenes in my darkest moments. And while right now I don't feel it, I believe it. Because I'm relying on days gone by. I'm relying on past to shape my hope for the future. And maybe this is your story today too. Maybe you're coming in. I mean, we also often have this Christmas, woo, followed by this major crashing letdown of, oh, now I got to enter into this next year. I've got all these stresses and work to deal with. I've got all these family pressures I've got to get back to. And we can feel this overwhelming sense of just like, oh, what am I going to do? And I encourage you, if that's your story, reflect on the last year. How has God been at work in your life? How has he seen you through the tough times already? How has he been faithful to you? How has he blessed you? How has he shown you, maybe in subtle ways, that he has been by your side, that he hasn't left you? Sometimes we don't feel like he's with us, but that doesn't mean that he's not. I'm sure we all, if you've seen the poem of the feet in the sand, some of you, you know it's a corny little thing. However, it does describe the picture. Well, when there was one set of feet, that's where God carried me. You know, we forget. We don't feel he's there, but he's always there. And we need to not forget that by remembering him. Next, our another second benefit that we see of reflection after it widens our perspective. Sorry, I forgot to say that. In Psalm 77, he gets very much in on his circumstances. He gets very focused on his world, what's going wrong for him. But what happens when you remember the past, you set your own small set of circumstances on a much grander scale. And all of a sudden, some things that were not so clear become more clear. And so the point I forgot to make, it widens your perspective. And sometimes that widening of your perspective, you realize that what seems so terrible, dark, and impossible to get through isn't so impossible. Because in the grand scheme, God's going to get you through it. You're a small part of something much bigger. Secondly, thing that we learn is in Psalm 78. So Psalm 78 is written by the same author, Asaph, about remembering. But in Psalm 78, it's framed in a totally different way. So here, the writer actually records at length. It's a very lengthy psalm. It's like over 72 verses. And in it, he records all the ways that God has moved for the nation of Israel, how he's delivered them from Egypt and provided for them in the wilderness. But not only does he mention all of God's mighty deeds for the people, but he also mentions all the ways the people have constantly grumbled and rebelled against God. And he wants the people to remember all of God's mighty deeds and all of the people's grumbling for this specific reason, how he sets it up in verses 1 through 8, where he writes, "My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they would in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him." And so we read 78, the beginning here, and it shows us the second reason that we need to remember, and that is that we can learn from our mistakes and the mistakes of others. You see, when we reflect, we're able to see what went wrong. But you can't learn from your mistakes unless you actually reflect on them. Otherwise, you just make the mistake only to walk right into it and deal with it the exact same way and make the mistake over and over and over. You don't learn from it unless you reflect. And you think about what went wrong. What was my part in that situation or that argument or that fight or that blow up at work? How can I deal with that differently? And so in Psalm 78, the author is saying, look, I want better for you folks. Don't be like your ancestors who would have God do one amazing thing on Monday and by Thursday would be grumbling, oh, I'm so tired of bread. I wish I had meat. Oh, I'm so thirsty. And so God is constantly meeting all their grumblings, and a couple days later, they're grumbling again. Don't be like them. Learn from their mistakes. Trust God. He's faithful. He'll provide. That's the lesson that the author of Psalm 78 wants them to learn. What are the lessons that you need to learn from 2018? What are the mistakes you made in life that have been a stumbling block to you, that you need to say, you know what, that didn't go great. But when that happens again, I want to learn from that mistake and I want to be ready to handle it better in the future. Maybe this past year, you were too focused on your work and not enough on your family. Or maybe you were too harsh with your kids. Or maybe you were too busy with all the trivial distractions in this world that you never gave God more than a couple seconds of a quick prayer here or a quick prayer there. Whatever the case may be, if you don't think about and reflect on the mistakes that you made this past year, you are going to repeat them this next year. It's simply a fact. So take the time to remember and to learn from your mistakes. And now the third benefit that we learn, that we get out of reflecting in the past year, we see it really in both these Psalms. And that is that ultimately, when we reflect and we remember what God has done, it increases our trust in God. Because so often, we're just simply such a forgetful people. We see God's working in our lives in the moment, and we're like, God, you answered this prayer. Thank you. You are so good. I prayed for weeks, and you got me through it. And then a week later, life gets kind of hard, and you're like, oh, what is happening? This is terrible. God, do you not see the struggles of my life? And he's like, how did you forget? Last week, I answered your prayer. I got you through that. I gave you the strength. You said you needed to get through it, and you got through it unscathed. But we forget. We're so, so forgetful. But when we take the time to remember, we start to make the list and we start to see the things that maybe we didn't even see in the first place. And we realize, wow, God was at work. I was healthy. I had a job that I enjoyed. My kids are growing up. I'm watching them mature. I'm watching my grandkids grow up. I'm watching them mature and become young men and women of faith. God is good. And as we reflect on that and we remember that, we realize, oh, God can be trusted with my life. He does care about me. He is in the details. It's even in the painful moments sometimes that we go through these difficult, trying times and we come out the other end, and we can sometimes even foolishly, because we're so caught up with what's going on right in front of us with that myopy, that we forget, oh yeah, God, you were right there with me. And so in the moment, we don't see him, we don't feel him, but when we take a step back, we go, wow, God, even in the darkest times, you were with me. And that builds our trust. Unfortunately, so many people never take the time to reflect. And if you don't take the time to reflect on where God has been in the past, you're not going to believe that he's actually at work in your life in the present. And you're going to lose the opportunity for your faith to grow and for your dependency on God to grow, because you're going to have this mindset, false as it is, that God's not anywhere in the details of my life. God wasn't with me in 2018, so how can I expect him to show up in 2019? Well, that's not God's problem, that's your problem. That you never took time to sit and think, God, where were you in 2018? And to see him. I think the reason sometimes we miss him isn't because he's moving too subtly, but because we simply aren't looking for him. And then when we do see him, we forget. We have this real terrible sin of forgetfulness. It's like having a coworker who you always have a great relationship with. Things go really well. And one day that coworker comes in and has a really bad day and snaps at you. And you instantly are like, man, they're such a jerk. Can't stand that person. And all the good things they did, all those days leading up to the one bad day, you forget. I think we do the same thing with God. All of a sudden we get into a dark moment and we're like, God, where are you? Just like Asaph did in Psalm 77. Why are you quiet? Why are you leaving me here? Because he's forgetting in the broader perspective. No, God has been with him. God will not leave him and is actually with him right then and there, whether he feels it or not. So, these are the three benefits of reflecting. It widens our perspective outside of our narrow focus on our own troubles. It teaches us from our mistakes. We're able to learn and move forward. And finally, reflection increases our trust in God. So now we know these three things. I'm giving you homework today, okay? This is actual homework. So get out a pen in front of you. Get out your bulletin. I need you to write these things down, okay? Here is your homework for this week. You need to reflect on the past year. Okay? This is an exercise I have done for the past four. This will be my fifth year this year with my discipleship partner. 5 years ago, he sent me a set of 10 questions. And he said, Ryan, we talk on the phone every single week. Some of you know this. I talk about it often because it is the number one spiritual practice in my life. I encourage everybody to do this. But we talk every single week. And on the first Tuesday of the year, we're going to go through these 10 questions. And the first question is this great one. If your life were a book and last year was a chapter, what would be the title of that chapter? And it's just this great starting question, like, what was the theme? What was God doing in 2018? And I love this exercise with Greg because it forces me to think about all of the last year, the highs and the lows, the successes and the failures, the ways God is teaching me, growing me, stretching me. It's an incredible exercise. So I bring this in shorthand to all of you. If you're in a small group or a discipleship group, I've already encouraged you, your group leaders, to be asking these questions of you in the next week, so maybe they will be popping up for you. But here are the questions that I want you to at least write down, talk with your spouse, your parents with, and think about deeply in the next coming days. First off, what has God shown you about maybe him or about yourself? What has God shown you? And the follow-up question that you have to ask with it, and what are you going to do about it? Maybe God has shown you that you're too focused on the tasks in front of you and achievement at the expense of relationships. When your kids come up to you, you're always too busy because I got to do this, and you don't have enough free time and downtime to just be with them. Maybe God has shown you that, you know what, you need to rely on him more and rely on yourself less. Maybe you've gone through a series of really hard things over and over, and you've struggled. And he's trying to get your attention by saying, look, stop relying on yourself and rely on me. So what is he showing you through the lens of the entire year, and what are you going to do about it? What changes do you need to make in 2019 to grow from how he's trying to get your attention? Second question. How has God been at work in your life in subtle ways? This is just the recognition question. It's just saying, you know, maybe you've heard the popular notion, the Lord works in mysterious ways. Well, they're not so mysterious. It's just that we don't look for them. So Romans 11, 33 through 34 kind of backs up that idea. God does work in subtle ways. We see in Romans 11, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? I believe God is always at work in our lives. We simply miss it. Because he doesn't necessarily have flashing lights from heaven trying to get our attention. But that doesn't mean that he's not at work. It doesn't mean that it's too subtle or that it's hidden. It's often because we're simply not looking for it. And unless it's raised from the dead type of miracle, we just miss it. So the encouragement to you is to look for how is God working in those subtle ways. Recognize God is working. The third question, how has God blessed you in the past year? So often we take things for granted in life and we look at the year and go, yeah, it was a pretty good year. It was fine. I'm looking forward to 2019. But we forget and we take for granted our health, our job, our kids, our home, that awesome vacation that was so much fun. You name it. Sometimes it's because maybe we feel like we earned it, we deserved it, we're the ones who saved the money to buy the item that we enjoy. Or it's nothing out of the ordinary. It's what everybody in West Des Moines or Des Moines has. So it's nothing special. God didn't bless me with it. It's just what life is like here. And we forget that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. And so the question, how has God blessed you, reminds you to take stock of all the good things in your life. and to respond to that goodness that God has given to you this last year. And we have to move beyond just reflecting on the goodness that God has done, and we have to respond in worship and thankfulness for the blessing. Psalm 9, verse 1 through 2, we read, "I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. I'm going to let the world know all the amazing ways that you have blessed me. I am glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High." And then the rest of this psalm, the writer goes on to tell of all the good works that God has done in this person's life, because he recognizes it's more than just looking back and saying, "Wow, God, that's really great, thank you." But it's taking that and telling other people, man, God is good, and he wants to be a part of your life, and thanking God for all the ways that he has cared for and provided for you. And even if that provision means walking through maybe the darkest moment of your life this year, that doesn't mean that God didn't give you a good gift that you didn't deserve, his presence to carry you through it. And so, we have to even in that moment acknowledge what God has done in our lives, and we have to respond. So how will you respond to all the ways that God has blessed you? So that's your homework for this week, okay? Before you close the chapter on 2018 and begin writing on the pages of 2019, I want every person in this room to take a moment and reflect on God's active presence in your life. Because no matter who you are or what you went through this year, I know that God has been at work in your life this past year. It's simply a fact. He is a personal God. He is God with us. That's what we just celebrated at Christmas. And it's not God with us just as a baby in a manger on December 25th. It's God with us all year long. And so we have to take the time to look at where his fingerprints have been on our lives. And as you remember the ups and the downs, we have to be grateful for the blessings and look forward to God's faithfulness to remain in our lives in the coming year and every year beyond. I know that if you take the time to look at these questions I put before you and to reflect on them, that you will be amazed at how much you will see God's active presence in your life. It's the number one way that my faith is built. Every year when I do this exercise, I look and I go, "Okay, God, you are speaking to me." I didn't see it. I saw it as disjointed pieces. This month, this up, this down, down, up. All these things in my life as just kind of this chaotic year. But when you step back and you look at it all, you go, "Okay, you're talking to me, God. You're showing me something. You're trying to teach me something here." And I want that for every person in this room. I want you guys to have a 2019 where you better see God's hand in your life, because now you're able to recognize it because you looked at where he was acting in 2018. So take this week to remember and to reflect and see that the Lord has been good.